Rodrigo, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, to which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelleth in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Verse 12. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, we are born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, we are assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Verse 15, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better. Somebody say better. I desire something what? Better. But now, they desire a better. That is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their heir, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he would have received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, consigning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. Wow. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when he had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and of Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weaknesses were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flee the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others have trailed a trial of mockings and scornings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were shown in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all this, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. And the last one, everybody together, God having provided something better for us. Can you go over it again? Say, God having provided something better for us, that we should not be made perfect apart from us. God having provided something better for who? Me. That they should not be made perfect apart from me. Already I have established what this faith is. I've shown us from the book of Romans chapter 10 and chapter 17 that this faith is the faith in Christ, that he came to this world, that he died on the third resurrected on the third day, and he lived forevermore. So what then is the true fight of faith? You see the CV of all those who have had faith. That means faith has been in existence even before the world began. That's why the scripture says in verse 3 of that scripture, it says we know that the world was framed. Hebrews 11:3. We know that the world was framed. This universe, everything about it was put in order. How? By the word. By faith, we come to understand that. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are not seen were not made of things which are visible. Give me a New Living Translation so that you see what I'm talking about. The NLT says, by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. So even God operated in faith. That is why the only way to please God is by what? Faith. So when you come to the point where you know that he is, and he is, God who lives, who is a being. You cannot see him. You cannot touch him. But yes, he is. He exists. And he's the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. When you get to that point, now faith is beginning to sprout. We know by the elements of this earth that what? That is faith. By the command of God. He said, that's why we say, whatever you think in your heart, they are must be equal to each other. Else, your life will come down to the words of your mouth. The world is framed by the words of your mouth. That is why we call ourselves the life-speaking spirits. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was in the mind of God. And he said, let there be. And there was. So what is this true fight of faith? Is somebody listening to me this morning? What is this true fight of faith? Give me 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. We're reading from verse 4 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 4. I read in Jesus' name. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But what? But mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Are you seeing what I'm seeing here? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. When your obedience is what? Fulfilled. Say, when your obedience is fulfilled. So what is the greatest fight? The greatest fight. The true fight of faith is in your imagination. The true fight of faith is where? In your imagination. No wonder Albert Einstein says, imagination rules the world. Because before God spoke and commanded that let there be, he must have seen it in his imagination. He must have given a structure. He must have given a spirit to it. He must have given an evidence to it, a substance to his imagination. And he can say, let there be. And it was. Casting down imaginations. He said, one of the greatest men that ever lived said, imagination births and challenges our understanding. That's a very interesting thing. Understanding does not come before imagination. You have to imagine first before you get imagination, before you get understanding. But many of us are trying to understand before we imagine. You will be stuck if you do that. You have to imagine first before seeking understanding to understand what you have imagined. Somebody just imagined we want to go to the moon. It was after that imagination that he started trying to understand how do we strategize? How do we get there? Imagination. Visions come before understanding. Understanding never comes before vision. So, that's why he says in Habakkuk 2, he says, I will stand upon the towers. I will listen and wait what you will say to me. And I will write down the vision. We'll come back to read that later. But I want you to get some things. The extent your life has gone is based on your imagination. Is somebody listening to me this morning? Listen and get this. The extent your life has reached is just based on the image you have inside of you called imagination. It's according to the imagination of your heart. The life. So if you say you don't have any image in your heart, there is something you are giving image to. You cannot be empty. So the extent our lives have gone is just based on what? Our imagination. When a man fails, he failed twice.
Why did I say he failed twice? He first failed in his imagination before failing at the event. But when a man wins and succeeds at his assignment perfectly, it was born from his imagination. What then does it mean to imagine? It means to think, to devise, to strategize, to propose, to esteem. It implies any mental process involved in planning and conceiving an idea. Can you read after me? A man's heart plans his way. Give me in KJV so that you get what I'm talking about. A man's heart, what does he do? Devises. If you see another scripture, it says, imagines his way. So what does that mean? Your heart is the laboratory of your life. That is where you cook everything up, where your life will go. So whoever has your heart has your life. That's also the principle of success. First within. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. So whoever has your heart has your life. So if you allow things of this world, possession, to still control your heart, then you know who is in charge of your life. A man's heart devised his way, but the Lord directed his what? The steps. That's why I prayed that prayer last week. I said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. My steps are ordered by God. Are you seeing what I'm seeing this morning? Go to verse 30 of this same scripture, Proverbs 16 verse 30, so that you see what I'm getting. You will see there that even as wicked as human beings are, their imagination is still powerful. Look at it. He shuttered his eyes to devise forward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. I used to say this, that if there is no fake, there is no original, there cannot be fake. See the people of the world, how they bring evil intentions to pass. They only imagine it. They devise it, strategize it in their imagination, and they finish it there. How much more we, the children of God, who God has released the power by his Spirit to be able to touch the realm of the impossibility. The unseen world are only ruled by our spirits. And how does that spirit, how do you connect to the spirit? You must be able to imagine. I told us one of the rules during the Bible study, that you need to be quiet, be still, and meditate. That is imagination. Look at them. They are devising wicked things. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs 16 verse 30. They can devise wicked things. No wonder Genesis 11 6. Please give us Genesis 11 6. I need you to see something in Genesis 11 6. I've thought about this in synergy. Genesis 11 6, what it says? And the Lord said, behold. Are you seeing it? The people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have done what? Imagine to what? Do. What does that tell you? That Tower of Babel was not built. It was only in their imagination. They had completed it. God came down and saw their imagination and said, this thing is done. They will be coming to heaven by the ladder they were going to create. Where did they create it? In their imagination. I know when we were growing up, they have tried to put those locks and lock our imagination up, because they scared us that when you imagine things, you can go nuts. You can lose your mind. You can begin to imagine things. And it's when you imagine things and you are saying it, you say, ah, you have gone crazy. So what that does is it helps to put a key to your power of imagination. So it seals you from going into the realm of the spirit, because we don't understand that we were made from the earth. Our spirit is always open to receive the seed of the word. That is why anytime anything gets into your spirit, it will get into your life. Are you listening to me this morning? So all you need to do is imagine. You need to find that vision. You need to find that hope of which God has in stock for you. You need to find it, because immediately you find it and you can receive it in your imagination, I tell you, before long, your life will fulfill that imagination. That's the power of imagination. You know, today, many people begin to talk about, a friend of mine posted something on Bill Gates recently this week. He said, Bill Gates must not have fasted and prayed like all of us are doing right now, but today he's a multi-billionaire. Maybe. But I told him, I responded to him, I said, sir, you are wrong. Bill Gates' parents and grandparents were ministers of the gospel of Jesus. So that tells you that he was connected to the source of understanding, of imagination. Bill Gates could not finish school, but yet he imagined what solved the world's problem. Today he is one of the multi-billionaires. If you count 1 to 10, you must count him in the first 5. Bill Gates. Because he put into action the power of what? Imagination. No wonder the Bible says that the earth, this world, earnestly groan. They are waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Listen, what I'm sharing with you this morning is how miracles happen. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible said, she said in her heart, she already imagined it. She concluded in her mind and said, if I can only just touch the hem of his garment. She had concluded it. And because of that, according to her imagination, she got it. Look at the centurion who was asking Jesus to heal him, heal his servant for him. Jesus was trying to come to him. He said, no, don't come. I know you have authority. And me, I know what the authority can do. Just stay where you are and speak. Because what has he done? He has imagined it like a senior soldier. He just says to that one, go and slaughter. And they go and slaughter. Even right from a far distance, he can give an order here in Nigeria, and the order will be carried out wherever the person is, provided he's the one who gave him the order, provided he's his superior. So, what am I saying? According to your imagination, miracles can happen in your life. So, if you have not imagined it, for those of us who still wonder how, when will miracle happen in my life, if you begin to imagine it, it will happen. Please give me Ephesians 3:20. I want you to see something again, so that you know that you carry something. So, stop sleeping off and waiting only in your dream to be able to see, to use your imagination in your dream. See the power behind your imagination. Are you there? Can we all read 1, 2, go? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or what? Or what? Can you see that? You remember when I was explaining what imagination is? He said imagination is to think. Hello, Christians in the house. It is wrong if you suspend your thinking faculty and say, God will do it. God will do it, but it will walk through your thought process. God will do it. God will show forth. But if you surrender yourself and you open yourself up, that's why I love that spirit, that song. Channel of my spirit, open up. What he was trying to say is, look, as I come into your world, let me connect to the depth of thoughts that was in your mind when you wrote this scripture. The power of imagination. Now unto him that is able to. God is even greater than our imagination. It's greater than what we ask. But look at it. I want to know, according to the power, what is the power that works in us? The power that works in us is the power of thinking and the power of speaking. Now unto him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God is greater than your imagination. I think somebody will get excited here. God is greater than your imagination. So stop limiting yourself by your imagination. Oh, I only can collect 500 naira. Hey, when we say, think that you have 5 million naira now, and we say, how will that come? How much do I earn per month? Break loose this morning. God is greater than what? Imagination. So don't limit God with your imagination. Even God attested to it that there is power in your imagination. Because it's the power that worketh in us. Somebody said, and I quote, that God gave us brains for him to rest. When God created everything, he wanted to create more things. But he said, oh, let me rest. What I will do is, I will put the rest things in the brain of my people. That is why when people were trekking up and down and they were feeling pain in their legs and were falling sick, it was looking for who will connect to the spirit to see that there is something that can move people to a far distance. And before you knew it, the likes of Henry Ford connected to it. Henry Ford was a Christian. Many of those who revolutionized and imagine and bring things to manifestation, they connected to it by the Spirit of God. You can't get it outside the Spirit of God. You can't. If you like, use mystical powers. All those people singing and using mystical power to sing is a type. That's not the real thing. It's brass. It's not gold. It's not gold. But if you sing and speak by the inspiration of God, by the intuition of God, I tell you, you will see the difference. That's why the likes of Panabasi Paul, they don't hold the microphone. You will know that they've gone into another realm of worship. The likes of Dunsi, you just be wondering the depths they are coming from, how they have surrendered and built their imaginations to God. They are connected to the depth of the spirits. That's the power of imagination. Please don't limit yourself. Become wild in how you imagine. I know some of us are still struggling with this because we were shaped and we grew up like that. We don't use gold. We don't use all those things. They are taking you back to Egypt, to Bethel. Many of the things that we were told when we were growing up, that built our faith, that gave structure to our faith, they are very, very invasive to the plan God has. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it even entered into the hearts of men what God has in stock. But how do you connect to it? You need to connect with your heart. Because he has it. God has it with him. Open up. And let him speak. Let him give you that insight. Amen. Let him conceive faith in your heart. So let's go on to answering the question, how is faith conceived? How to conceive faith. I'll be using an analogy of how we get pregnant so that you'll be able to understand a little more. How you conceive this faith. How you begin to use this imagination to be able to get pregnant of what your future will look like. Are you ready this morning? Now let me start with the example of our brother Jacob. Give me Genesis 30 verse 25. And please stay there. We're going to go from 25 to that to Genesis 31 to 8. We're going to read from 30 to 25. It's a very long story, but I need you to follow me. Genesis 30 verse 25. Genesis chapter 30 verse 25. I'm looking at the example of Jacob. I will still share the example of Abraham. But let's look at those two examples and I will share the grace this morning. I need us to see all these things. Now let's go. And it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban. I hope you remember the story behind this. Jacob lived with Laban. Laban was his father-in-law. He had two wives. Rachel was the wife he intended to marry, but he didn't get Rachel, but later got Leah, then later waited more another 7 years more, and got what? Rachel at the end. Now he has gotten Rachel. Rachel now did not give birth early enough, but later then he had children. He now has Joseph. That was the first time he was having the real child he intended to have. That was Joseph. And it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my own country. 26. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service, which I have done. D. He said he wants to part ways from his father-in-law. Look at it, verse 27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned, I have seen, I have come to understand that by experience, by everything that has happened, that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. So you see that you can be a carrier of the blessing of God. Where you get to a place and somebody become blessed for the reason of you being there. Let's go on. Verse 28. And he said, appoint me thy wages and I will give it. Say, tell us your salary and we will pay. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. 30. For it was little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. This is what he said, it has now break forth. And the Lord had blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for my own house also? God, I wanted to see the practical thing there. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. For if thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. Look at what he now said. Jacob had already imagined. He was thinking in his heart. He has already concluded the plan. He and Rachel was discussing it. He now went to meet his father-in-law to tell him he was going. He had imagined that, look, when he said he wants to go, his father-in-law would say, no, you can't go. Please, don't go. Stay with me. Okay? What do I do to make you stay? He now said, okay, right now, I will pass through all thy flocks today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. Do you know what he said? We usually do it in our local parlance. Somebody will help you rear goats, animal, or all that. Then you say, every fourth, if he brings out color brown, animal that was white, never had anything to do with brown. He said, if he gives back to a brown, the brown will be my own. Others will be for you. If he brings out spotted, we will remove the spotted. You will take the rest. And what did Laban do? So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come from higher before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, thou shalt be counted stolen with me. So he's saying that if you now find anyone that does not have spots, that is not brown, and you find it among the ones that I pick, saying it is my own, then it means I have stolen. Go on, verse 34. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according. Can you see it? Is somebody seeing what happened here? Let it be according to what? Let it be according to your what? Do you see again that you should be careful of what you say? Immediately Jacob said it, heaven rubber stamped it. Why? He had imagined it and he presented it to his father's in-law. His father-in-law said yes. Heaven said yes too. Go on. 31. And he removed that day the he-goats that were restrict and spotted, and all the she-goats that were sprinkled and spotted, and everyone had white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. Next. And he said, 3 days' journey. Listen, this is where the problem comes from. We need to set ourselves aside. Jesus died and resurrected on the third day. On a 3 days' journey, sometimes to bat this new idea, you may need to go on a 3 days' fast. You may need to separate yourself from others. I thought they say, this person is going nuts. It's not going nuts. He wants to give back to something that is extraordinary. He set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. So he took them away. He took the little ones that had spotted already. They were not many. He took them away and continued taking care of the rest. And look at, and Jacob took his rod of green poplar and of the hazel chestnut tree, and peeled white straps in them, and made the white appear, which was in the rod. Now look at it. I want you to get something. Go on. Is that chapter 31? Okay, and he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks. What did he do? He set it before the flocks. He has imagined it. So what did he do? He now set it before his people. Before those that he will bring them forth from the ordinary, he wanted to bring out the supernatural. From the natural, he wanted to bring out the supernatural. From the ordinary, he wanted to bring out the extraordinary. He wanted to convert water into wine. So what did he do? He puts a type, something that looks like it. That's why on Wednesday, I was telling you, I said, if you want to project, you want to birth the tomorrow of your children, you know, they may not have the power to imagine like you. Just go cutting pictures, beautiful pictures of your tomorrow, and paste them there. How you want their tomorrow to be like. The schools you want them to attend, just paste them in the uniform of those schools, or paste them coming out of those schools and put it there. Let them see them repeatedly. That was how, by the time they came to drink. So how do you conceive? You conceive in the place of drinking. John 4:14, Jesus told the woman at the well. He said, if you know who was speaking to you, you will ask him, because out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So immediately you become a child of God, there is already a well in you. All you need to now do is to draw from that well. Is to draw from the well in the place of drinking. How do I conceive? In the place of mating. Look at it. They should conceive when they came to drink. Go to verse 39. Genesis 30 verse 39 says, and the flesh conceived before the rod, and brought forth cattle, ring-streaked and sprinkled and spotted. So while they were drinking, and the word became flesh and dwelt among them, while they were looking up to Jesus, looking at his word, meditating on his word, they are changed from glory to glory. They are becoming a new name. They are becoming a new identity. That is why we said that as I come in contact with your word, my face is oiled. I become another man, as God intended. Give me Habakkuk 2, verse 1 to 4. Let's see it. How do I conceive this faith? I say you should what? You conceive faith in the place of drinking. You conceive faith in the place of meeting with God's word, where you get to know God's word. I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. What am I saying? Number 3. How do you conceive this vision? Write goals. Set goals. Write down your visions. Dream big. Increase your dream. Stop limiting God. Give me Isaiah 54. I want to round up this morning. Give me Isaiah 54. Sorry, let me finish this Habakkuk. Wait, stay in this Habakkuk. For the vision is here for an appointed time, but as in the end, it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Verse 4 of it. Of this Habakkuk 2, 4, it says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just. How do you convert it? But who? The just. So if you become a Christian, Christ-like, you accepted Jesus. Now, how do you assess it? You assess it by what? By faith. The just shall live by his faith. By whose faith? His own faith. How do I get the faith? From my imagination. From allowing my spirit to be opened up, where I am drinking from God's word, where I am studying on God's word, where I am meditating on God's word. And when I have done that, I set goals. I write my vision. I increase my dream. Give me Isaiah 54. I dream big. Are we there? He says, sing, O barren, thou that did not bear, break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that did not travail with a child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Go to verse 2. Look at it. Somebody who did not have children. Look at what is he saying. He says, you should begin to rejoice now. Maybe you have not achieved anything in life. Begin to rejoice now, because you are getting pregnant. How will you get pregnant? He said, don't even see yourself that it's just one you want to bring. He said, you want to bring out multiple children. Enlarge the place of your tents. He said, if you have baby cots and the baby cot is just one, he said, no, go and increase the baby cots. Go and get a 6x6, because you will have too much and you'll be asking yourself, where have all these children come from? Enlarge your tents. Enlarge your thinking faculty. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen your cord, strengthen your stakes. Stop limiting God. All those self-limiting beliefs. Hey, I cannot. Who told you cannot? The Bible says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. When God came to Mary and told Mary, you will bring forth the child of the child of the Holy Spirit, Mary was trying to In history, it has never happened. But what did God do to her? He said, quickly, 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 go and see Elizabeth. Because if you see Elizabeth and she shares the testimony, your own faith too will rise and you'll be able to receive what is coming. So find yourself among those who are testifying of the faith of God. Choose your association wisely. Are you there this morning? Break down all self-limiting beliefs. I cannot. Let it not come from your mouth anymore that you cannot. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If Christ lives inside of me, nothing can stop me. The sky is not my limit. It is my takeoff point. I can do all things. I can do all things. Let it sink deep in you before you give up. Don't give up. Consistently wait there. He said, tarry. Day it may tarry. He said, nay, wait for it. Keep trusting God. Keep holding on to his word. And don't limit yourself. If you want to help burn the future of your dreams, get mental models, pictures, videos, play to help spoil your imagination. That's what I've been doing for some time now. Did you see the comedian we watched this morning? Did you see the church? As big as the church is? Did you see the number of people who are giving their life to Christ on a daily basis? That's just one service. And they had different stations. They were watching them live from those different stations because there was no space in that auditorium. And they had overflows. And people were giving their life to Christ. It's just like comedy. And he was speaking. So what am I trying to do? There will be a time will come. We are breaking forth on the left and breaking forth on the right. Our numbers does not bug God at all. Develop yourself. Get ready for tomorrow. Amen. Get ready for tomorrow. Tell somebody, get ready for tomorrow. Let me go to the last one as I end here. The example of our father Abraham. Give me Romans 4, verse 16. The example of our father Abraham. Let's see what happened to Abraham. God told him, you are the father of many nations. You know, if you were the one and you didn't have children, how will you feel? And God was telling you that all the children that will fill this world, it will come from you. Will you believe God? In your natural self. Can you see it with me? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. Say, as it is written. What was written concerning him? So you need to find out what is written concerning yourself. As it is written. What was written concerning Abraham? He says, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before Abraham was created, it was written concerning him. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, I ordained you, I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. To root out, to uproot, to cast out, to pull down, and to establish the God's counsel. So look at it. Abraham, our father, had been called a father of many nations even before the nations were born. Now look at it. Before him whom he believed. You know, sometimes Abraham at this point was over 75 years. He was going close to 100. And yet God was still saying to him, I am the one that said you are the father of many nations and you are 100 years old. How will you accept it? But look at it. He said, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. I said it to us in this series. I said, God does not call us, some of us, God does not call us what we call ourselves. God calls us by who we are in him. So God was calling Abraham. That's why he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, meaning father of many nations. Go on, verse 18. Who against hope believed? Is it not against hope? You're already 50. You're already 100. Everybody has given up that you cannot bring four children. Even the man, even the woman was 90. Said I was 90. Over. Age of childbearing. To their own understanding. That it might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed. So according to the words of your mouth, it will be so. So let's go, verse 20. And be not weak in faith. Listen. If your faith can rise, your dead bodies can come back to life. If you can conceive it in the place of faith, no matter how dead your imagination has been, it comes back to life. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Go on. I wanted to see it in verse 21, but go to 20 now. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, which is the last one where I want you to see it is. Can you read that verse 21 with me? And be fully. That's the word. And fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's why the Bible says, faith cometh by what? Hearing and hearing. What we are trying to do is to persuade you to beat down all those strongholds. All those things that you have lifted above the counsel of God in your life. Those things that you have put to block God in moving in your life. Those things you have put. And you say, I can't go beyond this. That's why in a teaching ministry like this, they are dashed to pieces by continuous teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. Because you become fully persuaded. Hello? I know this doesn't happen overnight. You have to get to the point of being fully persuaded. You have to get to the point of hearing it and hearing it. That's why I will beg you. Please, all these messages, when they are available, listen to them like 3, 10, 4 times. So that you can begin to move in the realm that you are acquired. Get fully persuaded beyond reasonable doubts. That was how Abraham was able to bring forth Isaac even when his body was dead and could not produce. But immediately his body got fully persuaded. He imagined it. He saw himself carrying his own child. What happened? His body woke up, resurrected, and was able to bring forth. So this morning, as we bow our heads, you're going to sing this song. Say, channel of my spirit, open up. I am with the Father, open up. No boundaries, no limits, open up. Let deep call unto deep, open up. Lord, channels of my spirit, Lord, channels of my spirit. Oh, I connect to the depth of your word. He said, deep call it unto the deep. I am with the Father, open up. No boundaries. There is no boundaries. There is no limit in the realm of the spirit. There is nothing like limitation. I open up, yes, to the world of impossibility. It's all up too deep. Open up. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name that is above every other name, we'll receive insights to break forth on the left and break forth on the right in our imaginations in the name of Jesus. We receive strength.